Well, hey everybody, it's Chuck. Welcome back to the Apiary, maybe the Apiary Workshop. Hopefully you guys had a great winter. I know it's been a while since I put out a video, but it's the beginning of bee season. Had a lot going on this winter with and without the bees, but we are at the beginning of February now. Sixth today. And this is kind of the beginning of the bee season here in Zone 9B down in Jacksonville. It really kind of started kicking off at the beginning of January when our maples started popping out. And I can show you a little bit of that here because I got some videos with my drone a few weeks ago when that happened in the second week of January. But now we're kind of at the first week of February, and typically I start my grafts for my own apiary right around Valentine's Day. So we're about a week away from grafting here for me. So the things that start happening in my mind are time to get the swarm traps out. I put a few out a few days ago. This is another set of four I'm gonna put out. The earliest swarm I've got on record over the last 10 years being caught for me is in the second week of February. Now granted, a second week of February swarm may sound crazy to most of you in other parts of the country, maybe not so much in South Florida, but in this area, it's usually overfed bees that swarm that early. Usually feral bees are not swarming that early because of the way they brood up and get ready for spring. Usually it's a neighbor putting too much sugar on their bees, and or this beekeeper, Chuck, putting too much sugar on his bees, creating a swarm scenario. Try to get that smoke out of your face. And with the swarm traps, I'm going to walk you through what I'm doing this year. I've got previous videos on that, but I would like to reference you that and show you what I'm doing. But to start out this video, as part of the educational series that I like to try to keep this on about Zone 9B in our beekeeping area here in the southeast of Florida, let's go inside the barn shed and look at the observation hive, because what the observation hive is going to tell us is where the bees are right now in an unfed, relatively untreated environment right now. I do treatments about once a year on my observation hive, but we can see where their stores are, see where the brood pattern is, and see what their space looks like, because you can take that as a representative sample of what's going on in your apiary, whether or not they're bringing in pollen, storing it, consuming it, and all. So stick with me real quick. We'll zoom into the barn shed, and we'll be right back. All right, boys and girls, we're in here in the barn shed. And just for those of you that aren't familiar with my observation hive, this is a window-style pivoting observation hive I have. And the entrance is here on this end, and it goes outside. And it's a six-frame observation hive that I built myself off of some plans off of the internet. But as we pull off the dark screen, here's your first peek at what's going on inside the hive. Basically, honey stores up top, brood already capped here in the center section, and extra space down below. You can translate this to what's going on inside of your hives. If you've got a double deep on the bottom, maybe got a second double deep with some honey in the top, and or a third double deep or a medium up top with some honey stores. This is the way the bees move up in the winter towards the honey. And you can definitely see they're still consuming honey. I don't see any glistening honey in here, nectar that would indicate that the bees are bringing in nectar. It's a little early for nectar unless they're coming from feeders or things like that. But nice looking capped brood here and plenty of stores to kind of continue to go. But you see how these combs sort of mold? The bees will clean this up when they have enough workers to do it. Now let's flip this around to the other side. And this is how my screen comes off. It's just a piece of political sign with a little bit of double bubble for insulation. Same exact thing on the other side. And this is two frames by two frames by two frames. So obviously they could have a lot of brood in the center section also. You notice here there's not quite as much capped brood, but if I kind of glance in there, I see the pearly whites in here. So they are definitely laying this up. And here, more honey stores up top that they're consuming and bring down. And there she is right there. If you want to take a peek at her, her mark isn't showing because she's hanging on the glass. But there is Mama, and there's her green dot from last year right there in that section of the hive. And then she's moving around. So she looks nice and healthy. She made it through the winter. She's still got a nice swollen abdomen. So I'm feeling good about her for this observation hive. So this is where we are. This is what you can translate to your hives. If you're in this area, they are brooding up fast. We've definitely got two frames of brood here. We've definitely got like 1.5 frames of honey, assuming this is on the other side, and plenty of space to grow here on the bottom. So for the next couple weeks, if I show you guys what's going on in the observation hive, you're probably gonna notice all of this starting to be cleaned up as they make room for her to start laying down here on the bottom to continue to build up for the spring. But this is a great example And this is why I keep this observation hive, both to teach and to show you guys where the bees are in our area this time of year. All right, so let's go back outside. Okay, now we're outside. Hopefully that was a good intro of the observation hive, where our bees are and what we need to be doing this time of year. If I met any of you at the NABBE this year, North American Beekeeping Expo, it was great to see you there. It was my first trip up there. I drove the truck all the way from Jacksonville, drove it all the way back, had a great few days. Even got a little Dirt Rooster mug here for my coffee here. I've been looking for another beekeeping mug, and I figured I'd support Randy with the 628 Dirt Rooster channel there. Okay, on to the swarm traps. So I've got my traps. They were all dry. They're basically cleaned out. I didn't really do anything. I've built these traps on video before, so if you're interested in how to make a swarm trap, go back and look at my video history and just maybe search for swarm trap. I've got several videos on them. I'm telescoping lids. I transitioned this year. I've got some double bubble in here acting as an inner cover. This comes out, right? So this is acting as the inner cover when you put the lid on. These are my older ones made out of Advantech. They've held up well, but they're really, really heavy. The ones I built last year are made out of a little bit lighter wood. The same volume, 40 liters or so. Check out that previous video. And I also like to have the entrances here on the side. And the reason I like this side entrance versus one end or the other is because depending on which side of the tree I hang it on, you know, the entrance may be facing the wrong way with these single entrances, if that makes sense to you. So if I've got an existing nail in a tree and I go hang it on the tree, if this is the one that's got an entrance on this side with the hanger on this side, then it could be facing to the north away from the sun. I prefer to try to have the entrances facing the sun. So the side entrance kind of solves that. It's just coming away from the tree. I use 3D printed entrances here just to close them up when I catch them and leave them open here for ventilation. And I also use a little bit of a hardware cloth in there for birds. So these are my swarm trap designs. They're solid. I haven't changed them. Last year, I went to this method of vials for my swarm trap lure. I really, really like this, and I'm going to do it again this year. If you look back in my YouTube history, you're going to find several different attempts at playing with swarm trap lures. I made gummies one year out of gelatin. They worked, but they were kind of messy when it got really, really hot here in the south, and they kind of turned into goo on the bottom because I didn't get the melting point just right. But then I went to these vials, and look this up on the video last year if you want. And this is a vial pulled out of last year's swarm trap. Matter of fact, I just pulled these out of the bottom. And if you see here, there's even still a little bit of kind of evaporated oil. If I smell this, I still smell lemongrass oil inside of this here from last year. Now, granted, when I smell the outside, it's definitely faint, so it isn't putting off much smell. But the way I made these, please watch the video from last year if you're interested, is I bought a bunch of these vials, and believe me, they only come in bottles that for 500. If you see here, they're about an inch long, right next to my thumb. And they've got little lids, but what I did is I took some candle wick. Many of you might have candle wick for making beekeeping candles. And what I did is I took an awl or a hole punch, a very tiny one, and I pushed that wick through the lid so there's a little bit on the top, almost like an oil candle. And then the way I do this each year, and I'm doing it again this year, is I'm taking just pure lemongrass oil, there's mama, and I'm just filling it about 3/4 of the way full, and that 3/4 because the wick actually takes up some volume. So you see what I've got there. Now I'm just gonna push the bottom into this wick that's designed to act just like an oil candle almost without flame. So there it is. So I've got a vial of lemongrass oil going through a wick that is already smelling really, really good. Now this could be too strong. I'm not gonna debate how much to use. You can decide on your own about that. You could change the size of the wick if you wanted it to wick less. I just used the wick I had. But to tone it down, all you've got to do is take a little Ziploc bag and throw it in there and leave the bag open. You can even cut the bag in a couple spots for some vents, but that open bag will allow this to spread the smell for the bees. That's all I do. As a matter of fact, here's last year's bag. It was still in the bottom of one of my swarm traps. And you see I've cut off the corners, right? And that gives a little bit more room for the aroma to come out of this one. And here's another one of the vials that came out of that bag. You can see it's still a little bit orange. I still smell lemongrass oil in there inside. I don't smell so much on the outside. And I'll show you how I do that one more time. I just take my vial that I've pre-made, and I got a little bag of these that are ready to go. I just take the lemongrass oil, pure lemongrass oil. This is not cut at all. Filling it about 3/4 the way full, pushing my wick into the bottom, snapping it shut so it doesn't leak. Just the only way the oil is coming out is through the wick. And in this scenario, I'm even gonna use last year's bag. And I just put it in the bottom. Maybe not right near the entrance, if you don't want it to be too strong, if you're worried about the strength. Some people have a lot of different opinions on the strength of the swarm trap. Okay, I've got a few frames here. Hopefully you guys can see this. And I'll just kind of keep going with what I'm doing here. I've got frames from last year that, you know, got some old burr comb on my, I put these on the outside edge. These are for after they build up on the outside. I've got some old nasty combs in here. And these are even moldy, a little bit wet. And you might say the bees aren't gonna go touch that because they might think that it's leaking. Well, the reason these are moldy is I've had them outside and kind of uncovered. Shame on me. I don't have a barn pole shed to store these in inside. I don't have enough room in there for this sort of thing. But we just went in the observation hive with a managed hive, and you saw moldy frames on the bottom of that hive, didn't you? Those bees are going to clean up this mold if they want it. And oh, by the way, now that I put it in this observation hive that's dry, this will dry out and it'll crust up a little bit. I'm not worried about that, not letting the bees come in. So I mean, I don't know, I'm gonna give them a couple. Wow, that's a nice, see, this is nice drawn comb. I'm gonna save this for my hives. I'm not giving this to a swarm trap. So that's a nice, evenly drawn set of drawn comb. But look at this one. This is like a drone comb frame they made on a foundationless frame. That's a great one for a swarm trap. Another dark broody comb, a little bit of mold. I'm gonna put it in the middle of these and a couple more. I use 5 framers. My logic on this, there's a void down here that if I leave them in here too long, it will be a mess. And I've got some videos from last year, if you want to watch, about I left them too long and it was a hot mess. And when you take bees out of a swarm trap that's got too much comb in it, especially on a hot day, you are going to be in a honey nightmare. So try to check your traps about every week or two, especially during swarm season. That's the problem with this design of a void. It gives them the volume they want, but once they build out, once they're done with their top 5 frames, they're going to fill up this void down here. Now here's just a piece of foundation. This would be a good one to kind of give some structure. And then that's 5 frames on that one. I got my double bubble here just to show you. There's my inner cover. Nice telescoping lid to kind of keep it dry. You notice my, because it's telescoping, this is an improvement I've made because they just kept getting dry with regular old flat lids. But you gotta push your arm bar out a little bit so that the telescoping lid can fit. That's probably the most difficult thing about building this design, is getting a nice strong joint here for this arm to hold, because you've just gotta assume they're gonna build this out and this is gonna be 40 pounds worth of bees and this arm needs to hold it. Now, I'm gonna go ahead and open this entrance so I don't forget it while I hang up the tree. And also that airflow will also help continue to dry that out. And this box is ready to go in the truck and hang on a tree. Let me get one more frame in that guy and then I will kind of move on. Not gonna show you all of this here. That one's ready to go. This entrance is maybe worth talking about. I have moved to circle entrances, like on this one, because they're easy to cut, they're easy to build these entrances for. And another thing you might not realize, a lot of beekeepers put their entrances up here in the center, not on the bottom board. If you've got a leaky box, especially if it's tight, you're gonna fill up with water if there's any leaks. I do that with my nuke boxes now too. I put the entrances all the way down on the bottom board. That way, if there is a leak, the water has a way to go out without filling up. So circles on the bottom is what I do now. Before, in this older trap, I used to do these slot designs. And these work great, they're fine, but the problem is these nice circle entrance covers don't work so well that I'm able to print on my 3D printer. So I had to come up with kind of a custom 3D printed design that allows me to close this up without sticking like a rag or something in here. It's just a matter of go up and flip it over. So I got a little bit of a clamp here with a gate, and it's ventilated. So this is a gate, and when it's in the tree, I kind of leave it like that so it doesn't accidentally fall over. And then when I catch the swarm, I bring it over here, and now it's secured and I can lift it up. Another thing on these hives, I'm repeating myself more than I expected, is I've got some eye brackets on these big heavy ones on both sides in case I needed to actually use a pulley mechanism to get them down safely. Some of my swarm traps go up a little higher than I probably am safely able to bring them down when they're really heavy. So I've got these eye brackets on here, and I've got a mechanism with some pulleys where I can throw a rope over a tree, I can take the weight off, I can climb up and lift it off of its nail, and then I can lower it down with the weight of the swarm trap being on these rings here. Just a consideration, when you're putting your traps in the air, consider your age, your health, your physical strength, and the safety of being on a ladder bringing these things down, especially since they're going to contain a whole bunch, thousands of stinging insects in them. Something to consider, how you're gonna get them down. These lighter ones are I'm much more comfortable with bringing them down, but yeah, the added weight of this heavier box and a full of bees, it's quite a bit to consider. Okay, so that's two swarm traps that are all done up. If you got any questions, leave comments below. We'll share information with each other and talk a little bit about how I'm doing that. Okay, I'm gonna go ahead and finish this up probably off camera, but now you know what I'm doing there. I'm just sharing. I just made this sign this year. There's a section not too far from me near the railroad tracks where I've dropped a whole bunch of wildflower seeds. And I'm gonna put a little pollinator garden, do not mow, so that the city hopefully won't mow my wildflowers, and create additional areas for the pollinators to go here in the vicinity of where we live. I know it's not natural nectar, but it's something nice to look at and something nice to do. I think it's something to consider, especially if you're not doing it on your property, you're doing it somewhere else where they might be mowing. Okay, so we've covered the swarm traps. One of the other chores I need to do is in the apiary, and I'm gonna take you with me. We got my smoker lit. Let's go in the apiary. I'm gonna talk to you there. Stick with me. Okay, welcome to the apiary. I'm gonna talk to you like you've never watched any of my videos. If you guys have been watching my videos for a couple years, you may remember my setup in my apiary. Generally on that side, and we'll go there in a minute, I've got production hives that are running double deeps or single deeps this time of year. Usually they're all singles. And then this section is what I call my resource apiary. I've got a long Langstroth here. I've got some 5-frame, some 3-frame nukes here that are no longer have bees in them. This 5-framer has still got some bees in it. I think this is my only nucleus that still has bees in it, but I want to tell you why. When we get through winter, and that's where we are right now here in Jacksonville, we probably have some hive losses and or some dead outs that happen from wax moths. Wax moths typically don't kill a hive, the beetles, or maybe mites just killed your bees and everything moved in and they were dead outs. You probably didn't put any bees in your dead outs in winter. But this is where we get our production hives ready for the buildup. This is the best time of year, A, to start an apiary because the bees are building up, and B, best time to get a nucleus colony growing up to full size. So my resource hives are here specifically for me and my apiary and my excess I sell to beekeepers in my area, is to be able to put inside of deep hives this time of year and give them room, give them food, and let them build out. I've already done two hives. I had a 3-frame nuke that was doing well, found the queen. I had a 5-frame nuke doing well, found the queen, and I moved them into single deeps over here to get them going. Now, let me walk you over there and show you where they are. So here's one right here. While I walk, you get my smoker. I just want to show you, it's a single deep. And this single deep was built out of a 5-frame nuke that was just 10 feet over there. Most beekeepers would tell you you can't move bees that close because the foragers will go back. And that is true. Most of the foragers will. But I didn't have a choice. I'm not buying bees and I got my own bees, so I'm gonna move them over. I stopped a bunch of leaves in that entrance to disorient the bees coming and going and to lock many of the bees in there that might not wanna fight their way through that. And this has been about a week. And that entrance, you see how they have to orient when they come out. Now, if I take this lid off, if I have to hood up, I will. See them going to that feeder? This feeder down here, they are drinking it down. Wow, they are going through that. But these bees are nucleus in the center, sugar water to go, and they're reorienting. But because they've been here for 3 days or more, I'm gonna go ahead and let that open up. One little beetle there, and I'm gonna let them go back to work. I'm probably gonna keep feeding this because this is behind. They had a few frames of brood already, a little bit of food, but I'm feeding them to keep going. But you see how they're orienting now? You can even tell how they're hovering in that entrance. It looks different than it did just a second ago with those leaves. They're reorienting already. That's what this looks like. We'll go look at one other one over here. Okay, hopefully you can see that. Almost the exact same thing with this one. This was a empty dead out that I just had an empty a box sitting here all winter long. And I put a three framer in here. But I'm looking down and I've still got three or four frames of bees in here. And they are definitely going through the sugar, not as fast as that other one over there with the five framer. So this three framer is still drinking the sugar, but slower than the other one. I'm even seeing some nice little white wax on the top of this. That's perfect. But because they've been here more than 3 days, I'm gonna go ahead and pull this out and let them get back to work. So this is how I use my resource hives to get production hives started at the beginning of winter. Okay, I've got one other thing I wanna show you because I've sort of got the opposite of a dead out I need to show you right here. Well, I guess it's not the opposite, but if you were to look at these two hives, both of them have much less activity than the other ones. This one specifically, I think it was this one, but I'm gonna just double check this one first. If you come over here and make, this is a top hive feeder that this is the time of year, this is what I leave on all winter long. When I switch over this time of year, I use those in hive feeders. Just a cluster of bees there, if you can see it. They're barely hanging on. This is almost a dead out. I actually need to make sure there's a queen in here. I'm walking away to get a hive tool. And of course, I've got 1,000 hive tools and can't find a single one of them. That time of year, folks. Stick with me. All right, I'm coming back. So this could be a dead out. If there's a queen in here though, all hope is not lost. This is sugar. This is, it's now dried up pollen I gave them a few weeks ago. Almost too thick of sugar there. They can't really chew through that anymore. I'm gonna give them a feeder today after we finish our chores. But I'm gonna pop out one on the edge and show you what this looks like. There's still honey in here. So see, they're not starving. Tiny little cluster of bees. I don't see any eggs on that frame. There's no queen, it's a dead out. If there's a queen, there's hope. I don't see her there. This may be a dead out, and I don't see any eggs. Okay, so what we need here, just like those other hives, is one that last five frame nuc I've got to put in the center of this hive. I've got resources, I've got nice drawn out comb. and I'll show you how I did that. The reason I'm a little surprised, I thought I looked in here a week ago, and I thought I saw a queen, which is why I left them be. Now granted, would you even want to keep a queen that has a hive this? And the answer to that is no. Okay, so this one is dead. So this needs a nucleus colony, and we'll come back and we'll do that a little bit later. All right, so let's just double check this one. It's also got a little bit of a low population. And see what we got here. Whew, same thing. This one might have died in the last week or two also. I think I checked both of these a few weeks ago. There's even a little bit of brood on there. I see pearly in there. Interesting. So this didn't starve because I see nectar. I got pearlies in here. I don't see enough bees to have a queen though. I mean, there's no bees. Yeah. So either they absconded or she died or somebody robbed them. No, they're not robbed out because they've still got nectar in here. And here's a good, I mean, they've even got, look at this, there's a honey frame. So this was just a, perhaps a Varroa dead out. I usually have, I mean, I've got strips in here, so I know there was oxalic acid in the hive, but another dead out that I don't think I have an extra nuke frame for this one. So I may, well, this may be just a product of one of my my grafting frames. I'm just looking. Looking to see if there's a queen in here. I shouldn't even be looking. I'm just curious because I saw the eggs or the pearlies, but she's gone now. So a dead out. And this is a recent dead out. I mean, within the life cycle of a worker bee. Just that time of year. Capped brood. This one's got nice pollen on it. This probably should go into the hive that I add the nucleus colony to because it's got good resources on it. Okay, so two dead outs. I can choose which one I want to build back up. This one's got a hive scale on it. See down here, that's one of my broodminder hive scales. So I'll probably use this one to build up. I have a five frame over there, so I'm going to make some room. There's even some sugar water in here. And stick with me. Let me go get that nucleus colony. All right, I'm back. This is not the way I would normally do this, but because that's a dead out. This nucleus colony had a little bit of a five frame super on it. I think it was just honey, but I'm gonna look for the queen first. I'm gloved up and hooded up because I'm relocating bees that are gonna be disoriented. Nice looking brood though. Couple beetles running around, looking for the queen. Hopefully they didn't roll her already. Young larva eggs are in this one. Center frame here. When you transfer these nukes, if you can keep them in the same order, that's the best way to do it. Secondary frame, pollen on the edges. This is probably the edge of the brood nest with the pollen. Don't see mama. Hopefully she's marked. If she's not, I'll find her. She's definitely laying. All pollen on the edge. This nuke is gonna do just fine. Even an empty frame on the edge, so room to grow. Pollen on the edge, don't see mama, so I am outside of the brood nest area if I find her. She might be in the bottom. She could be in that super I left over there too. If she's laying in that super, that's very likely. Honey frame on the edge. Looking good. I'm gonna set this on the side. Give me some room there. And I'm just looking in the box. All right, so I may have a queen in my super. So I used to make these little five frame supers for nukes just in excess and overflow. Helps them get through the winter, that's for sure. But I've got a nice drawn comb from a nuke that I can use in my production hives later this spring. Couple beetles. Lots of beetles on this one. Look at all those beetles. Yeah, they might have had them corralled up here. I don't see the queen. I'm not gonna put that in a hive because of all the beetles. Beetles, just a couple. Okay, so the queen is AWOL. I bet she was on that first frame and I just missed her. Maybe she wasn't marked. Looking everywhere. Okay, because I wanna make sure I got her in here, I'm gonna just reverse what I did. I'm gonna start on that first brood frame, which is where she should have been. I don't see her. There she is. Okay, so she was there the whole time. Nice green dot from last year. Obviously laying well. Good sized queen. Okay, if I didn't catch that whole video, I'm putting this back in after the fact. I just tried to turn off my camera and it started recording. What I've done here is I found two dead outs. This one is dead, there's no queen. A small little cluster of bees that are gonna need to find home, or I'm gonna need to augment with an actual queen from another hive that I may have in my long Langstroth. This hive, I added a five frame nucleus colony. I added the queen, I saw the queen, she's in here and she's got lots of resources, two frames of brood and a feeder. So this is getting relocated to this location. And because of the disorientation issues, I need to kind of change up the entrance. You can completely close it up and they're gonna find their way out. But as these bees hatch out, as the foragers that are in there find and reorient, this will be okay. They will not all drift over, especially with the brood and the queen in there. So two dead outs, one of them replaced. I don't have the resources to replace this one out of a nucleus colony, so I'm gonna need to go inspect the observation, not the observation, I have the long Langstroth for a queen nuke to put in here. That's where we are the first week of February here in Jacksonville, Florida. Appreciate you watching the channel. Stick with me for more content, and we'll see you on the next one. Have a great day, everybody.